Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tes. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We are beginning the Gemara at the third line from the top of Daf Lamed Tes. We have a Nosei Mivneh introductory note that's found in the margin of your Gemara. We notice a bowtie form, and as all geometric forms in our marking system indicate, there is a series of whatever. In this case, you have Tainos HaKoifer L'Rabban Gamliel. These are claims that the skeptic or the non-believer, the denier of God, says to Rabban Gamliel. Amalei koifer l'Rabban Gamliel, Elokechem ganav hu. Your God is a thief. Dichtiv, it says regarding the creation of Chava, of Eve, in the Odom Chava story in Parshas Bereishis. It says Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Vayapel Hashem Elokim tardemo al Odom vayishon. That God put Odom to sleep and took from him a limb from which he fashioned the woman. Kofer's opinion. He robbed something from Adam. Omra le Barte, the daughter of this skeptic, said to Rabban Gamliel, Shake, The daughter said to Rabban Gamliel, Shavke dano mahadarno le. Leave him be, I will refute him, I will answer him. Omra le, tnu li duchus echad. She said, give me a judge that knows how to seek justice and vengeance. Omar lo lomalech. So the father says to his daughter, Lomalech, what do you need a judge for? What type of vengeance do you need to have sought? So she answers, Listim bo aleinu halayla, thieves came upon us this evening, v'notlu mimenu kitan shokesef, and they took from us a flask made of silver, v'hinichu lanu kitan shozov, and they replaced it with a flask made of gold, a much more expensive material. Omar lo, so the father says, Ulavai shiavo aleinu b'chol yom. It should only be that every day such thieves should come upon us. Amrolei, so she answered, Velo yofe hoyolo la'odom harishon. Was it not actually of benefit to Odom harishon? Shenotlu mimenu tzela achas. That there was taken from him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from him this particular limb called a tzela, v'nosnu lo shivcha l'shamsho, and from that he fashioned a woman that was going to serve him, that they would build a family together. Omar lo hochi chwamina. So the skeptic says back, this is what I meant. I didn't mean to say straight out thief, but rather the method in which he took it was a seemingly stealthful, underhanded method. Elo lishkele behedya. He should have taken this appendage from, or this limb from Odom Harishon in a straightforward, outright manner. Why the putting to sleep and the stealthful fashion in which it was done? Omrale. So she responded, Aisu li umtsa de bisra. Bring for me a piece of meat. Aisu la, so they brought for her this cut of meat. Oisva tuse bachsha. She took the piece of meat and put it in the coals, in hot coals. Afikta. Then she removed the meat from the coals. Omra le, so she said to the kofir, Echol mehai, eat from this. piece of meat that was put in his presence in coals, and that's the way meat actually is prepared. And she says, "Eat from it." Omar lo mi'isoli. He says to her, "It's disgusting. It's ma'us to me." Omra le. And so she said to the kofer, "The odom horishon nami I havis shakilo behedyo." If the operation, so to speak, would have been done while awake and outright in his presence, in his with his awareness, hava mi'isa le. So the woman chava would have been something reprehensible or disgusting in his eyes. Omar le kofer le Rabbi Gamliel, yodana elakaychu ma ovid. So the denier says to, or the skeptic says to Rabbi Gamliel, "I know what your God does." The Rashi points out over here, elakaychu ma ovid, mekache shave, v'kosovur einhu yochol la'khisheni. The Rashi, the Gemara goes on, isnagid v'isnach. Rabbi Gamliel let out a sigh. Amalei, my high. The kofer said, "What are you exacerbated about? What are you upset about?" Amalei, ben echod yesh li bekroche hayom. I have a son, an only son that, or a singular son that is overseas. V'yesh li giaguim olav, and I long for him. I miss him. Boino demachvis le nihali. I want you to point him out to me. I want you to show me where he is. Omar, the kofir says, Miyodana hechoniu. How do I know where he is? Omar le, so Mumliel said, the iko ba'aro lo yadis, the iko b'shmaya yadis, that which is on land, that which is in our world, you don't know, and that which goes up in on goes up on the heavens, goes on in the heavens, you do know. Omar le kofir lo Gamliel, ksiv moina mispor la kochavim. In describing the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it says he counts and enumerates every single star. My Rabu say, the kofir says, the denier says, what's the big deal? I can also count the stars. So Rabbi Gamliel does the following. I see chavushi, he brings a type of fruit, a quince, shadinhu barbilo, and he put it in a vessel, a sieve. And he starts to twirl it around with these fruits in it. Omar le, the Rabbi Gamliel says to the kofir, Moninu, count them. Omar le, Ukminu, hold it still so I can count it. You're twirling it around. I can't count them. Omar le, the Rabbi Gamliel says, Rakia nami hachi hadra. The heavens also are in a state of movement. Iko di amri hachi omar le. Another approach is, the kofer, the denier, said, thusly the story took place. Moni li kochvi. I know the number of stars. Amale, Rabbi Gamliel says, according to this version, he says, Emoli kochich v'shinech kamahave. He says, tell me how many teeth that you have in your mouth. Shadi yodei lepume. The denier put his hand or his finger in his mouth. V'komoni lu, and starts to count the teeth in his mouth. Apparently, not knowing the number of teeth. Amale, the iko b'fumech lo yadis, that which is in your very own mouth, you don't know how many teeth there are. The iko b'rakia yadis, and the number of the stars in the heavens, you do know. Amale, kofer lo ramomiel. The kofer, the denier, says the following: Mi shebora horim lo bora ruach. A claim of two deities and two creators. He who created the mountains did not create the winds. Shenemar. Two different expressions, as you can see in our marked Gemara, the dashed underlined words. There is one creator known as Yotzer and another one known as Bore. Amale, so Rabbi Gamliel says back, Elameata Gabi Odom Dichtiv. In the creation of man, in different psukim, you find two different verbs. Insi vayivra vayitzer. Hachi nami mi sheborazeh lo borazeh. Are you going to advance the same claim that he who created this limb did not create that limb? In other words, two different creators. Well, and even if you want to say that distant limbs, maybe you want to stick to your claim that there are two different creators for distant limbs, but still, tefach al tefach yesh bo ba'odom. There's a place on a human body that measures a singular hand breadth. Ushnei nikovim yesh bo. There are two orifices or holes or apertures. There's the ear and the eye that are within a hand breadth of each other. Misha borazeh lo borazeh. Are you going to advance your claim that he who created this did not create that? Shenamar, and because the pasuk would indicate, according to your theory, there are two different creators. Hanota oizen halo yishma v'im yotzer ayin halo yabin. You have nota oizen, one verb regarding the ear, and yotzer regarding the eye. Two different verbs. Amalei in. Yes, that the kofer says, I'm going to stick to my approach. There are two different creators for those limbs. Amalei uvashas misa kula nespaisu, and Amalei says that at the point that a person dies, all of these two creators are in agreement. They agree together. Now is the time for the person to stop living. At this point, we have another geometric form. We note in the margin the mivne, the structural note, sidra shel imutim bein rabbonim udmuyos shlilios. We're going to see a couple of cases where rabbonim, rabbis, go up against some negative characters. Amale hahu amgusha la'amemar. A certain sorcerer says to Amemar, mipalgoch le'iloi de'hurmiz, mipalgoch le'tatoi de'ahurmiz. The upper part of your body belongs to the Hurm is the name of some type of demon, and the lower part of your body belongs to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to God. Amalei im kein, so Amemar says, if that's the case, hechi shavik le ahurmiz luhurmiz lavure mayo ba'are. How is it that the lower owner, so to speak, the owner of the lower part, allows the upper owner to have rotting water or smelly water pass ba'are through his region, the lower region? Omer le Kesar the Rabbi Tanchum. The Caesar says to the Rabbi Tanchum, "Ta lehevu kulon la'amochad. Let us join together and be a singular nation." Amar lechayi. So Rabbi Tanchum says, "Okay, that's a good idea. However, anan demalinon lo motzinon mehevi kavasaycha. We who are circumcised cannot be like you. However, atun." Mahalisu fahavu kavasan, but you who are currently uncircumcised, you can circumcise and be like us. Amarle, the Kesar says, Meimar shapir kuamris. What you're saying is logical. Miu kol dezochi lamalko lishduyo lebivar. There's a rule in our empire that anyone who gets the better of the Caesar is thrown into a den of wild animals. Shaduha lebivar v'lo achlua. They took Rabbi Tanchum and threw him into this den of wild animals, and they did not consume him. Amaleihu mina. So there was a skeptic there, a denier figure, and he said the following. He said, "Hai d'lo achlua, that which the animals did not eat, Rabbi Tanchum mishum d'lo kofin hu, because the animals were not hungry." Shadua le l'dide. So then they took this min and threw him into this den as well. Fiachua, and they did eat. Amale kofer le ragvam liel. Amrisu, you are known to say kol be'asora shchinto shaya, that amongst a group of 10 people, the heaven, the divine presence is located, as is known when people get together to daven b'tzibur. That's to daven in a communal fashion. The necessary number of people is 10 to form a minyan. Kama shchinta iko? How many shchinas are there? Says the kofer. In other words, wherever there are 10 people, there's shchinas. So that would say that there's a shchina here, a shchina there. A lot of shchinas, a lot of divine presences. Karye l'shame. He called his servant. Mocho be ba'aksa ba'apsika. He hit him over on the neck. Amalei, am I ol shimsha bebeisei de kofer? So he asks the servant, why is it that the sun goes into the, shines into the kofar's house, into the denier's house? Amalei, so the servant says, Shimsha kuli amanicha, the sun shines into everyone's houses, it shines over the whole world. So Rabbi Gamliel says, Uma Shimsha, mind you, the sun, the chad min elef alfe ribo shemshi, the kamikutra brichuhu, nicha akule ama, the sun, which is a, is one of tens of thousands of tens of millions, and you can increase the number with many more zeros as well, of tens of millions of different heavenly bodies that serve the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and a singular one of them is capable of shining into all of the houses of the world. Shechinta d'kutcha b'richo al achas kama v'kama, the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, all the more so, is capable of dwelling in many places at one time, and it's a singular Shechina. Amalei hahu mina the Rabbi Avo. The skeptic says to Rabbi Avo, Elokechem gach kon hu. Your God is a joker. He ridicules his prophets. In the book of Yechezkel, you see the following, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the prophet, Shchav al tzidcha smoli, uksiv v'shachavta al tzidcha hayemoni. Sleep on your left side, lay on your left side, lay on your right side. What is he trying to do? Make a joke of the prophet? Also hahu talmido. In the meantime, a student of Rabbi Avo comes into the picture and says, Omarle, he asks Rabbi Avo, my time of the Shviaso, what is the reason behind the sabbatical year? Omarle, Rabbi Avo responds, Hashto amino lechu milso de shavi lechavaychu. I'm now going to say something that will be of benefit to both of you. Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu liYisrael, Zaru Sheish vehishmitu Sheva. Plant 6 years, you are entitled to 6 years of agricultural activity. On the seventh year, you shall cease from the agricultural activity. And the reason for this is Kadesh Tedu Sha'oretz Shali Hi. Rashi points out, in the lower part of the page, you can see where the asterisk is, Kadesh Tedu, so that you should know that the land is mine, V'lo Yorum Levavchem B'Shevach Arzachem V'Tish Kechu Eul Malchuso. And that you should not become haughty and conceited and think that you're totally in control and forget about the yoke of my kingdom. The Rabbi Avoh goes on in his explanation, Fehein lo asukein elachotu v'golu. However, the Jews in the first temple period, they sinned and were exiled. Minhago shel olam, melech basar v'dam, shesor cholav medina. The way of man is that when looking at the king, a mortal king whose subjects went afoul, im achzorihu horeges kulam. If he's a tough, vengeful, evil type ruler, he'll just kill them all off. Im rachmanhu chetsham. If he's merciful, he'll kill off half of them. Im rachman malei rachamim. If he's extremely merciful, who Miyasir Hagdoilim Shevim Bisurin, he will afflict the leaders of the masses of the people, or the top brass of the population. He'll afflict them with troubles, with pain. Af kach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Miyasir Es Yecheskel Kedei Lamarek Avonoseim Shel Yisrael. So too, the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Yecheskel to afflict him with troubles, in order to purge the rest of Am Yisrael from their sins. Omarle hahu mina the Rabbi Avo, Elokechem koyenhu tichtiv v'yikhuli truma. The min, the denier, says to Rabbi Avo, your God is a koyen, as is witnessed by the pasuk that says, and take for me truma. Truma, as is well known, is the priestly tithe that's given to the koyhanim. And the pasuk says, "Bring unto me a truma," referring to God. So he continues with his skeptical remarks. Ki kavre l'moshe b'maytovil, when he buried Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu took upon himself the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. So in burying the dead, so a person becomes Tomei. As a result of becoming Tomei, he has to purify himself through Tevila. How does the Kodesh Baruch Hu tovel himself? V'chitemo b'maya. And if you say the Kodesh Baruch Hu enters water, that can't be. The water is of a very small quantity relative to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'alksiv, it says mimodad b'shalo mayim. Who is it that measured in his fist, in his handful, in the palm of his hand, water? In other words, all of the water, so to speak, in this very figurative Gemara, is saying all of the water fits into the Kodesh Baruch Hu's palms. How could he possibly immerse himself in a mikveh of water, when all the waters of the cosmos fit into his palm? Amar Lei, so Rabbi Avo answers, Benuro Tovil, God is Tovil, immerses himself in fire. Dechtiv ki hine Hashem bo'esh yavo. It's the Pasuk says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes into fire. Umi salka tviluso benuro. So the skeptic asks back, this is immersion in fire a means of achieving Tara, of achieving purity? Amalei, Rabbi Avo says, Adarabba ikr tviluso benurahu. The main form of immersion ought to be, or should have been, in fire. Dichtiv, v'chol asher lo yavo bo'esh taviru b'mayim. Anything that doesn't go into the fire goes into water. But you see from this pasuk that the primary method of achieving Tara would be through fire. Water is only a second best. Amalei, hahu mino le Rabbi Avina. Ksiv mi ka'amcho ki Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Who is like the people of Israel, which is a nation amongst those peoples of the world? My Rabu Sayu, what's the big deal about Israel? Atun nami arvisu bahadon. You are also amongst us, considered amongst us. Dichtiv kol hagoyim ka'ayin negdo. All of the nations of the world are like nothingness in next to Hashem. Omar Le, Rabbi Avino says back, Miditchu ashidu alon. One of you non-Jews, testifies concerning us. Quoting a pasuk from Bilam, who was a Gentile prophet, says about the Jews the following, Uva goyim lo yischashov. That amongst the nations of the world, the Jews are not considered. In other words, the claim that the Jews are just one other nation amongst other nations, Bilam himself, who was a non-Jew, says that's not the case. The Rashi at the top, Rashi on this particular page, on this omid, it occupies the two columns, the inside and the outside, where the Tosfos normally would appear. So at the top, he says, "Uvagoyim lo yischashov kol mokom shehuskuru shom nochri lo huskuru Yisrael bichlal." That where the nochri is mentioned, is considered, the Yisrael is not part of that consideration. Rabbi Elazar Rami, the Gemara at the top of Lamed Tes Omid Beis continues. Rabbi Elazar raised an inconsistency. Ksiv tov Hashem lakol, that God is good to all. Ksiv tov Hashem lakoivav, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, that God is good to those that are waiting for Him, are hoping for Him. So either it's lakol or lakoivav, as you can see, we've emphasized with our dashed underline. Which is it? Moshal li odom sheish lo pardes. The resolution will be as follows. This, to explain these two psukim, we draw an analogy to a person that has an orchard. Kshu mashke, when he waters the orchard, mashke es kulo, he waters the entire land, the entire region. Kshu oder, however, when it comes to turning over the soil, aerating the soil of the plants, eno oder elo toivim shibahem, the individual care of the plants, he executes only on those that are of quality. The Rashi says on the second line from the top, Kishu mashke, eno, when he waters, eno meneyamayim leilech letov v'loroyim, the fish eno elotorach echad. He waters the plants and doesn't restrain the water from hitting only, it's from the bad plants. It's one effort to release the water, and it flows over the whole area. However, efforts other than watering that require individual attention and exertion. Ukshu Oder, when he aerates, when he turns the soil over, Dahavi Torach Lechol Echav Echad, which requires a separate exertion for each one. Eino Oder Ela HaTovim, he invests his energies only on the good ones. Rashi continues, Oder Chofer, Oder means to dig. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zon Tovim V'Royim HaKol B'Dibor Echad, when it comes to sustaining the world, he creates sustenance with one word, so to speak, and with that one word, Memale Eskolom Kulo Toiva, Shalkol Shelo, he fills the entire world with abundance. Avol Kishibola Hogame in Apuranius, when it comes to protecting from evils, from punishment, from pain, Ulashalem Sachar, and to offer reward, Eino Elo Lakoivov. Those kind of things, that's the offering of protection and paying reward, that is only to those that wait for him, that are yearning for him. Lefikoch kol echad ve'echad, and the Mishnah went on to say, Ba'avod Rishoyim Rina. The Gemara will discuss now, as is indicated by the topic heading in the outside margin under the Nosei. Number one, Mapolas Achov, the downfall of King Achov. Number two, Ein HaKodesh Bruch Someach B'Mapoloson Shel Rishoyim. The Gemara will also reveal that when Rishoyim suffer their downfall, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not joyful. The pasuk that the Gemara in this section opens up with is a pasuk from the book of Melachim Aleph, Vayavor Horino Bamachane. Rino means joy. This word has a hey in front of it, Horino. This is mashma, the joy, some kind of joy that has already been mentioned on another occasion. And the question here is, where was there a reference to this particular joy? So the more answers with Omar of Acho Bar Chanina, Ba'avod Rishoyim Rina. The pasuk cited from Mishle says that with the destruction of the wicked comes joy. And the reference is Ba'avod Achov ben Omri Rina. That with the destruction, the killing off of Achov, the son of Omri, there came forth joy. So the pasuk in Melachim Aleph that said Vayavor Ha Rina, it was a reference to the destruction of Achov, who's classified as a Rasha. And this destruction was referenced to by the posuk in Mishle that says that through the destruction of the wicked there comes forth Rina. And here there was a fulfillment of that joy. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice a long question marking that's indicated by the kuf that's encircled in the space between the Gemara, in other words, the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and the commentary in the right next to it. In this case, it's Rashi. Generally speaking, the commentary would have been the Tosfos. But what you focus on is the little kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. We just mentioned in the Gemara that that there was joy upon the destruction of Achov. Umi chodi kutcho brichu b'mapalosin shel Rishayim. Is it so that God is chodi, is joyful, upon the downfall of the wicked? Ha'oksiv, it says in the pasuk. This pasuk is a reference to King Yehoshaphat when he went out to fight the Ammonim that attacked him. It says, "B'tzeis lefonai hacholutz v'omrim." Hodu Lashem ki le'olam chasdoi. V'omer Rabbi Yonasan mitnei ma'alo nemar b'hoido azu ki toiv. Generally, when you see the expression ki le'olam chasdo, you'll see it on other occasions ki toiv ki le'olam chasdo. So why is the tov not present in this particular praise? The Rashi across from here says, Kitov, Mashma Kitov, Be'enov, If the word tov would have appeared, it would have indicated that it is good in his eyes, the acknowledgement and the joy. So, why over here in this war between Yehoshaphat, of king of Israel, and the Ammonim, does it not say this? Lefi, the Gemara goes on, Lefi she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'mapolosan shel rishoyim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is not happy with the downfall of the wicked. The Omar of Shmuel bar Nachman, Omar of Yonason, my dichtiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk in the case of the splitting of the sea, of the Yamsuf, when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim? The pasuk says in the context of Kriyas Yamsuf, Velo korav ze el ze kol halayla. Be'oisa shah, at that time, namely at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Bikshu Malachei Hashores Loimar Shira Lefnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the angels wanted to sing praise in the presence of Hashem. Omar Lohem HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the angels, Maise Yodai Toivin Bayam Vatem Omrim Shira Lefonai, my creations are drowning at sea, and you're singing Shira in my presence. This is not a time for Shira. This is a sad moment. Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Hu Einosos. It is true that Kodesh Baruch Hu himself is not joyful upon the destruction of the Rishoyim. He would have much preferred that they exercise their free choice and not become Rishoyim. But when they are in a state of destruction or defeat, he is not joyful. Avol achirim meisis. However, others, he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does grant them joy. He allows them to be joyful because of their salvation. Daiko nami dichtiv. One can see this distinction through the following. Yosis, that's a posuk that is found at the end of, close to the end of Sefer Dvorim in the Toichacha, and the posuk you'll find written in the margin. It says V'hoya kasher sos Hashem aleichem lehitiv eschem, and just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself is joyful when granting good, when helping you and granting you good, ulahar bois eschem, and to increase your numbers. Kain yosis Hashem aleichem lavid eschem. So too, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will, now the key word here is yosis, he causes others to be joyful. The Gemara goes on and says, v'loksiv yosus. It doesn't use the simpler verb form, yosus, which would indicate that he too is joyful. Shma mina. So that when it comes to inflicting setbacks and downfalls to the wicked, the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not participate in that joy. Only when it's a function of salvation and bestowing good and plenty does the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself participate in the joy. So the Gemara says, Shema Mino, with this we conclude that difference. So it can be understood then, in light of this explanation, the destruction of Achav was a source of relief for many of the people around. So they were happy, and hence you have Bavod Rishoyim Rina. But that doesn't mean that the Kodesh Baruch himself participates in that joy. We continue with more about Achav. In our marking system, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 1 and a Roman numeral number 2. The note on the in the margin indicates Shnei Psukim. There are two Psukim that the Gemara will feature, Shebohem Chokim Reb Elozer V'Rava. And regarding each one of the psukim, and you'll notice the double underline is used to highlight the appearance of Rava and Rebbe Elazar and Rava. So the first pasuk, in the context of the death of Achav, it says, V'hazoinois rochatsu. Omar Rebbe Elazar, L'mareik shtei chezyonos. The word vehazonos is a reference to chezyonos, visions. The Marek, Rashi explains, Lemarek, he says, Liltosh ulahair, klomar. Rochatsu, just like the word rochatsu means to cleanse and create clarity, and as Rashi goes on to say, v'huvruru hashtei chizyonos shenemru alav, there was a fulfillment of two visions or prophecies concerning him. Which two prophecies were fulfilled at this point? Achas shel Michio, v'achas shel Elio. The one of the prophet Michio, and the other one of Elio. B'michio k'siv im shov toshuv v'shalom lo diber Hashem bi. The prophet prophesied that Achav would not return from battle. And he said that if he returns, then if he's addressing Achav, if you were to return from battle, then Hashem did not speak to me. And that was obviously not the case. So that's one prophecy that came to be with the death of Achav. Be'elio k'siv, and by Elio it says, "B'mokom asher lokiku haklovim es dam novos," that where in the incident involving Novos, who was killed by Izevel and Achav, the dogs will lick his blood as well. In other words, another prophecy of death regarding Achav. So upon his death, these two prophecies, that of Michio and Elio, came to fulfillment. And that's Rebbe Lozer's interpretation of the Hazonos Rochatsu. Rova, a second approach, Omar, Zonos Mamosh. The word Zonos in this pasuk is a reference to not to prophecies from the word Chezionos, but rather literally Zonos, which means harlots. So what are the harlots that are referred to here? What are they doing over here? The Gemara gives the background now. Achav ish mitsunan hoya. He was an impotent male. The osta lo Izevel shtei tsurei zonos b'merkavto. His wife, Izevel, tried to arouse his male tendencies through drawing or painting images of two harlots on his chariot, Kadesh Yiro Isan V'Yishamim, so that he would see these two female figures and arouse his male tendencies thereby. The second pasuk over which Rebbe Lozer and Rava will have a controversy, V'ish Moshach Bekeshes L'Tumo Vayakeh Es Melech Yisrael. And a man drew his arrow, Litumo, which the Gemara will explain, and killed the king of Israel. Rebbe Lozer Amar Lefi Tumo, in a non-premeditated fashion. That's one explanation. And Rava Amar Litameim Shtei Chizyonos, to fulfill the two visions, Achas Shel Michio, V'Achas Shel Elio, the two visions that we referred to a few lines ago. So according to Rebbe Lozer, Lefi Tumo is a description of the archer himself, his mindset, and according to Rava, the word Litumo means simply to complete the two prophecies. Simin Korah V'Zocha Be'edom K'siv. The Gemara will go on to tell us more about Achav, and there's a note on the outside margin, the Nose, Ovadia Hanovi. We're going to have a section of more featuring the prophet Ovadia, the base Achav, in the context of Achav's household, and also regarding Ovadia as being the prophet that's Misnabe al Edom, that says prophecy concerning the nation of Edom. So in our Gemara we continue, Ksiv Vayikro Achav el Ovadio Asher al Habayis, Ovadio Hoyo Yore Hashem Me'od. The pasuk says that Achav summoned the man named Ovadia, who was in charge. He was the executive director of the king's palace. He was in charge of his household. And Ovadia, the pasuk says, was a God-fearing man, a very God-fearing man. My Ka'omar Kro. The Gemara wants to know, what is the connection between Ovadia being a highly God-fearing man, and the fact that he was in charge of Achav's household. Omar of Yitzchak. Omar Le, Achav addresses Ovadia. He says, the Yankov Ksiv, regarding Yankov Avinu, in the context of Lovan, it says, Nichashti vayavorcheni Hashem begolalecha, where Lovan says that I received blessing from Hashem through you. Through you, through the fact that Yankov was present and working for Lavan. But Yosef Ksiv, it says in the context of Yosef, Vayavorach Hashem es beis hamitzri biglal Yosef. And there was blessing and increase in the household of Potiphar because of the presence of Yosef. Beis Adelhu Gavro, he says on himself, Achav says on himself, in my house, lo have mivrich. I don't feel a sense of blessing and increase and profit. Shema lo yirei elokim atah. Maybe you are not God fearing. Yotza basko v'yomra. A heavenly voice came forth and said, "V'ovadia hoya yirei es Hashem meoid. Avol beisu shel achotov eno mezuman lebracha." Though the executive director of your household is a very God-fearing man, and the lack of bracha is not a function of any lack in him, but rather it's a lack in your household. The household of Achav is not destined to have bracha. Amar Rabbi Abba, Godol Shenemar Bofadyo, Yosef Mimah Shenemar Bavram. You find a posuk that speaks in greater terms about Ovadia more than Avraham Avinu. Deilu Bavram lo ksiv ma'oid, ubavadyo ksiv ma'oid. The posuk by Avram, you don't find the word when referring to his Yiras Hashem, you don't find the term ma'oid. Whereas you do find that term by Ovadia. The Rashi points out that by Avram the Pasuk says Yirei Elokim Atah, but it doesn't say Yirei Ma'oid. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mipnei ma zocha Ovadio l'nevius. Ovadia was a ger, and as such, the divine presence doesn't set upon those other than those who have a yichus Yisraeli, that have a genealogical background tracing back in Israel. So how is it that the Ovadia, who was a ger, was able to achieve prophecy? The answer is, Mipnei shehichbi mea neviim b'ma'ora. He hid and sustained 100 prophets in the time of Izebel. Shenemar, vayhi b'achris Izebel es nevi Hashem, when Izebel went on a rampage killing out the prophets of God, vayikach ovadyo mea neviim vayachbiim chamishim ish b'ma'ora. V'chilkulam lechem umayim. When she was on her rampage killing out the prophets, Ovadia gathered 100 prophets and hid them, 50 men per cave, and he supported them. The Gemara asks, Maishno chamishimish? Why is it that he hid only 50 in one cave? In other words, it was 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave. Why did he do it like that? In order to answer this, the Gemara provides a couple of approaches. Omar Belozer, Miyankiv Lomar, he learned from his predecessor, from Yankiv Avinu, Shenemar, where Yankiv Avinu, upon going to greet Esav, he split his family into two. Shenemar v'hoyo hamachne hanishar lefleito, that if something happens to one group, one camp, the others will survive. And so, too, over here, he was concerned that maybe one of the groups of prophets will be discovered. So, if anything happens to them, at least the other group will be protected. Number two, Rabbi Avohu Amar Lefi She'ein Me'ora Machzekes Yeser Mechamishim. The reason for 50 in one cave was a practical consideration, because the caves that were available to Ovadia held only 50 men. Chazoin Ovadio Koyamar Hashem Elokim LeEdoim. The book of Ovadia features Ovadia as saying a prophecy concerning the nation of Edom. Maishno Ovadia LeEdom. What's the connection between Ovadia and Edom, that he was specifically chosen to say prophecy concerning that people? Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavoi Ovadio Hador Bein Shnei Rishoyim. Let there come forth the prophet Ovadia, who dwelt in the presence of two wicked people, Achav and Izevel, v'lo lomad mima'asehem, and he, Ovadia, did not learn from their ways. As we saw before, he was a very God-fearing man, unlike these people. V'inabe al Esav harosha, and let him say testimony concerning the descendants of Esav, the wicked, shedor bein shnei tzadikim, who he lived in the presence of two righteous individuals, his parents, Yitzchak and Rivka, v'lo lomad mima'asehem, and just like Ovadia, but in the other direction, he, Esav, did not learn from their ways, the ways of his righteous parents. Omar Ephraim Mikshaw, Talmido Sherbi Meir, Mishum Rabbi Meir. This individual, Ephraim Mikshaw, that's his name, the student of Rabbi Meir, said in the name of his teacher, namely in the name of Rabbi Meir, Ovadia Ger Edomi Hoya. Ovadia himself was a convert from the nation of Edom, and he was now saying prophecy concerning that nation. It was actually prophecy of destruction. V'hainu d'amri inchi. And based on this phenomenon of the man that specifically comes from that nation and now prophesies concerning its destruction, there arises a common saying, mine ube ibo, from within the forest itself, forest comprised of trees and wood, nezel bay narga, from the forest itself, namely a piece of wood that comes from the forest, goes into the axe head, and forms the handle of the axe head that fells the forest. So you have this phenomenon, maybe a form of irony, where the wood that comes from the forest is used to chop down the very same place. And the same thing here. Ovadia, who came from Edom, says prophecy concerning the destruction of that very same people. In the Pasuk says by David, it says, Vayach es Moav, and David beat the nation of Moab, and let it be pointed out that David has Moabite roots. He comes from Ruth, who herself was from Moab. So it says that David beat Moab, vayemadedeim v'chevel hashkev osam arza. Om Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, hainu damrin shi, describing this phenomenon of David beating the nation of Moab, the saying that we just mentioned applies here as well. Mine ube iba, from within the forest, lezel beinaga, comes the wood that's inserted into the axe. Ki also Ravdimi Omar. Ravdimi has another saying that describes this phenomenon of the source of destruction of whatever comes from that very same place. And he says, Yerech mitocha masrachas. The thigh, like a piece of meat, rots. The rot that the Yerech experiences is from within. Like we said a moment before, that the destruction of whatever, whether it be the nation of Edom or the nation of Moab, is caused by those that come from within those very same people. The next pasuk, once we mentioned Moab, describes the king of Moab in a battle with the Jews, and he took his son, his firstborn son, and sacrificed him, and offered him up as a sacrifice on the wall of the city. Vayikach es benoi habachor sher yimloch tachtov. he took the crown prince, Vayaleo Oilo Alachoma, and he offered him as a sacrifice on the wall. Rav Shmuel, Chadomar L'shem Shemayim, V'chadomar L'shem Avodah Zarah. There's two opinions here with regard to the mindset of Meisha Melech Moav. One said he was doing it L'shem Shemayim. He was offering his son as a korban to God. And the other one was he offered it as a sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah, to the idol. We can understand well the opinion that says that Mesha was attempting to offer, of course, an undesirable type of korban, but nevertheless, his intention was of a heavenly, of a divine nature. That right after that, we find in the pasuk that there was a Kodesh Baruch Hu had showed wrath toward Israel. In other words, the offering of Mesha was effective in accomplishing what he wanted to see happen. Ella leman diomar l'shem avodah zarah, but according to the opinion, it says that Mesha offered the sacrifice to an idol. Amai vahi ketzef. Why would the Kodesh Baruch Hu, after seeing that take place, dafka have wrath toward Israel? The answer is forthcoming. Kidder Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, based on his teaching, to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Romi, he raises an inconsistency, a contradiction in two psukim. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says, Ukemishpatei hagoyim asher suvosechem lo asisem. Like the nations surrounding you, you did not do. Uksiv uchamishpatei hagoyim asher suvosechem asisem. Another pasuk says, and like the ways of the Gentiles around you, you did follow. So, let's make up our mind. Either the Jews follow the Nochrim, the Gentiles that surround them, or they do not. So the Gemara resolves as follows. Kemesukonim shebohem lo asitem. Like Egloin Melech Moav, like the king of Moav, whose name was Eglon, who was considered metukan, a proper behavior of they that his ways the Jewish people did not follow. However, kemekukolim shebohem, like the problematic ones of them, like Mesha Melech Moav, who offered his son to the idol Asisem, you too practice like that. Now the question is, what about the wrath? How does this all tie in? So the Rashi explains, Kimikul Kolin Shibahem, Kigon Mesha Melech Moav, Shikur Vino Avodah Zarah, Kachoy Yisrael Oisin. So too the Jews practiced things like that, offering sacrifices to idols. Uboisa Shah, at that moment when he, the Mesha, was offering his son to the idol, Nizkar Lohem Oisa Avon, Shri Regilim Gam Hein Bo. That reminded, so to speak, aroused the memory of their violation. They're sinning in the same context, and as a result of this arousal of memory, this caused the wrath to break forth on the Jewish people. The pasuk describes the Jews leaving Moab, and it says Vayisu me'alav vayashuvu lo'oretz. It doesn't say in the pasuk vayashuvu la'artzom, and they returned to their country. But rather, it says they returned lo oretz, to the ground. Omar Rabbi Chanina bar Popa, bois shah yordu rishem she Yisrael lemadrega tachtoina. And there's a euphemism over here. The rishem she Yisrael is at that moment the Jewish people reached a very low level, and the low level is what's indicated by the term lo oretz. The pasuk says by Avishag, this was the woman that was brought in to serve as a body comfort for David HaMelech when he was reaching old age. It says Vahanaro Yafa Ad Ma'oid. Rashi points out that this pasuk, as we said, was by Avishag. It's brought into this particular Gemara because we mentioned before by Ovadia, the presence of the word me'od. So here too we have sukkim that are going to deal with the word me'od. So having quoted this pasuk, that the maiden, the Avishag, the girl, was very beautiful, says, Omar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Adayin lo higia lechatsi yofi shel Sora. Avishag, in all her beauty, didn't reach half the beauty of Sora. Regarding whom it says, Echtiv, it says, by Avishag, ad ma'oid, v'lo ma'oid b'chlal. The word ad means, in this case, up till, but not including. The Rashi says, v'lo ma'oid b'chlal, u'besora k'siv, ki yafa hi me'oid. It says she was very beautiful. Without the word ad, in other words, a type of unqualified beauty. V'haikra d'avishag nokat l'midrash hacha. And we mentioned this point before, that this pasuk concerning Avishag is brought in over here. Mishum drasha d'leil d'darash mo'od echtiv bo'vadyo. Because of the similar type of drasha we saw focusing on the word mo'od by Ovadia. With that, we complete our shiur for today.